Hey there, is today your first time here? Or maybe your first time in a while? If so, maybe you're wondering exactly who we are and what this church is all about. Well, we'd like you to know that we're a group of ordinary people who are on an amazing journey together, following Christ. Our guide is the Bible because it's the divinely inspired word of God and it will never take us in the wrong direction. Along the way, we hope you'll see that we are welcoming and spiritually passionate and that getting to know you is a big deal to us. We know that the road is rough sometimes, but we'll work really hard to bring you practical and relevant messages to equip and encourage you through life's ups and downs. We want you to know that we care about this community, and we believe that it's our job to make it a better place. So, no matter who you are or where you've been, we're glad you're here with us today, and we hope that you'll join us on our journey, following Christ and living out His plan for us. So, welcome to church.
Hallelujah. Well, come on and put your hands together. You know what to do. Isn't he good this morning? Isn't he good this morning?
Yeah. ourselves to you. We say have it all. You've already given us so much, Lord Jesus. You laid down your life on the cross. You rose from the grave. And so we thank you, God, for what you've done and all that you're going to do. time. You're thankful for today. Begin to tell him who he is to you. Speak back to him those things that he's done for you. And rehearse the testimony. Sing, you made a way. Señor.
Nada más que gracias, Señor.
Just give God praise in this place. Come on, give Him praise. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. God, we thank you that you've set us free. Nos has liberado, Señor. Hiciste un camino para nosotros y te damos toda la gloria, mi Dios. Te adoramos en este lugar. Bendito eres tú, Señor. No hay nadie como tú. There's nobody like you, Jesus. You're blessed, Father, in all the heavens and all the earth. Heaven is your throne and the earth is your footstool. And so we bless your name, Lord Jesus. Te damos toda la gloria, toda la honra, porque eres tú, Señor. Solo porque eres tú. Porque eres tú, Jesus. Something's happening right now. We're going to linger in this another moment. Something's happening. That's called the spirit of worship. That's called the spirit of worship. It's like a blanket when it falls on you. Like the heavy, warm blanket of the Spirit. Jesus said, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship in spirit. That is the spirit of worship that's falling in this place. And I prophesy to you today that it's growing. And it's going to grow. That this is only the beginning. You haven't seen anything yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. Hallelujah. We're going to continue in this attitude of worship. Just let that music continue to play. Because we're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. And I love it when the Holy Ghost comes and messes up the service. Because I've got some announcements. And then we're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. But we're going to stay in this atmosphere right here. Jesus. Come on, just close your eyes for another moment. We don't want to break this. We don't want to break this. Just take another second and just say thank you, Lord, in your heart. God's doing something special today. Chains are breaking today. Hallelujah. Jesus. Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. come, Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So this week, here's our first announcement. This week, ladies' Bible study begins in room 104 with Stacy Harrell. It's called One in a Million, Journey to Your Promised Land. Ladies, if you're looking for a Bible study, if you need other women to connect with, we encourage you to come and be a part of One in a Million, Journey to Your Promised Land with Stacy Harrell this Wednesday in room 104. We also have Kingdom Marriage happening with Isaac and Joanne Maxwell. That meets Saturday, April 1st at 10 a.m. here at the church. Whether you've been married for 10 days or 10 years or more, you can always benefit from being around other married couples and talking about how to have a godly marriage. So come and join Isaac and Joanne Maxwell Saturday, April 1st at 10 a.m. here at the church. And plan now for the Easter sunrise service. Easter is just around the corner. Can you believe it? It's coming quickly. And so get your tickets today. Breakfast will be served at the service. This is taking place at Beechwood on Easter Sunday. And tickets are available at the Welcome Center after the service. And today, somebody say today, party with the pastor. Come on, can we give a hand for party with the pastor? This is an opportunity for you. If this is your first Sunday, you didn't know you were going to a party today, but you're going to come party with us all the way in the Family Life Center. If this is your first Sunday, or if you've been coming since January of this year, we want to get to know you. So come and meet our pastor. Come and meet the other pastoral staff. Lunch is free, so you've got no excuse. So come and hang out with us. So at this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so on our My Church app. You can do so on our website. You can also do so by text. All the information is behind me. We encourage you to give through PushPay. And however you want to give is totally fine. If you're giving by cash or check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. And you can make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
Pastors that are joining me in baptism, would you please come at this time? Thank God. Hey, Mom. Hey, that's my mom, y'all. All right. I think it's good that she gives money to the church, don't you? Hey, Dad, how are you? Welcome to Carpenter Shop today. All of you, welcome to Carpenter. Come on, family, give them a hand of welcome today. Amen. Amen. We've been on a journey since the, I'd say probably since the fall of last year, and as we entered into 23, God began to do unusual things. It's like every week is layer upon layer, and God just begins to speak to us. Sometimes just for fun, I just go back and look at the sermons, you know, like boom, boom, boom. And it seems like God's just building something here. How many of you home folks know what I'm talking about? Come on. God's just building something. And last week we talked about baptism, and just, we didn't plan it this way, but simultaneously, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Mike's study on Wednesday night was on the ordinance of water baptism. And here we are today, baptizing almost 20 candidates that we have to baptize today. People that, some of those have made decisions for Christ. Amen. We're just believing for 100 salvations this year right here in this church. Amen. Come on. 100. Amen. And so I'm going to invite the candidates to come as we call their names. And I want you to just receive from the Lord today. This is not just some routine or some ritual. This is a very meaningful declaration. It's a very meaningful declaration. Each one of these ministers will share from their heart as they baptize candidates. Some of the candidates will say something. And we're just going to believe that today is going to be a meaningful time for us all. So, Father, we just commit water baptism to you. Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you, God, that as these go down in the waters of baptism today, that your presence will go to a new place in their lives. The heavens will open, and you will descend. And as you lit on the shoulder of Jesus like a dove, according to the gospel writer, may you light upon their shoulders today. May you cause them to move to a new place. Thank you for their obedience to follow you in water baptism. And Lord, we give you praise for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hersey Bazemore is coming to be water baptized. Amen.
I want you to know that I'm proud of this man. He has grown in the Lord. His life has changed over the last couple of years so dramatically, it's almost unbelievable. Percy, you have anything you want to share this morning with everyone?
Yes, I just want to share something that I was sitting down at my table and I was writing. And I was wondering why I was writing. And it came to me. You know, when you're at a train station, you wait for all the people to get together. And you make sure that you have everything that they have. Because when you find out who the conductor is, you better be ready. It's Jesus. When he said, get on board, get on board. Yeah. Hallelujah. And this day is a special day to me because I want more of him. Yeah. If y'all feel like I feel, everybody should be up here today. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
In the mighty name of Jesus, I give God praise for you and your life. So now, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit.
is Ben Blackstone. Says it's warm. That's because you got a good pastor, man. just 2 or 3 weeks ago, I remember standing here at the front and the altar service was going on, and I saw Ben. I didn't even realize he was there, and he had a nice casual checkered shirt on, and I saw him. I just looked at him. I thought, wow, God's doing something inside of him, and he just made his way to the altar, and he made a fresh commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Ben, is there anything you want to share this morning?
Thank y'all for accepting me and my family all showing up. I wasn't expecting everybody, which is awesome. I just want to reconnect and get my heart in the right place and my soul. So thank y'all very much.
Hallelujah. Come on, man. I told these guys in the back, I said, listen, I want to tell you, God's going to use you today to bless the people of God. This is not a routine. This is not a ritual. This is about relationship with Jesus, all right?
Mike, you hold this mic for me?
So, Ben, because of your profession of faith, renewing your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I have the joy of baptizing you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God. Wendy Bowling. Praise the Lord. Wendy, Pastor Joy's going to baptize her, and before she does, I just wanted to say, I'm into social media, and I'm watching social media, and I saw that she had an encounter with the Lord at another church. She was at a ladies' event that our church participated in. And so, sure enough, the next day was Sunday, and she shows right up here. And I thought, man, I wonder if, you always wonder about everybody. Are they going to, was that just an event, or is this going to be a continual relationship? And so I was so glad to see her just walk right back into the church and profess her faith to the Lord.
Isn't it amazing the things that God does for you before you're even serving Him? I remember when Wendy was expecting Sadie and had a lot of difficulties with her health. And God delivered that sweet baby. Amen. Sweet Sadie is what we call her, and allowed just a whole child, full of herself, healthy. And we pray healing over Wendy every time she battles anything that she battles through. So we continue to pray over Wendy for healing. Wendy, do you want to sing? Yesterday, she was at the hospital herself. But she chose to, when she got out yesterday, she said, I'm coming. I'm coming and I'm going to be baptized. Determination. Determination. You know what? When God saves you, delivers you from your past, and gives you a future, He gives you the determination. Yes, He can give you the determination, but you know what? It takes that foot forward. And we're thankful, Wendy, that you made that foot forward. And because of your faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Kyrie Carter.
Such a joy to minister to our kids. I believe that kids aren't just a part of tomorrow's church, but they're a big part of today's church. Amen. And Kyrie, when I think about Kyrie, I think about strength because he is a bodybuilder already. Like, how old are you, Kyrie? Seven? Are you seven? Are you seven? Like, all he wanted for Christmas was weight benches, and he is all about strength. But what my prayer for you, Kyrie, and even now I see it, is that your strength be strength in the Lord as well. That as you continue to grow and be set apart with your family, that you continue to grow in your strength in the Lord, and that you're just going to be a powerhouse as you get older. Amen. Back, Kyrie, hold. By the profession of your faith, Kyrie, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Praise God. Let me share with you a little something about water baptism. We believe in immersion. That's why we're taking people down, because it's a symbol of a grave. But in the Christian faith, if you study church history, there are some organizations that do not practice immersion. And some practice effusion. That simply means that you would pour the water on the head of the candidate. Okay? And then also, I remember years ago, I went to Dr. Ken Hall's church here in Ahoskie Methodist Church. And I had never seen the church, you know, I'd been here just a short time, and I said, hey, Dr. Hall, I'd like to see your sanctuary. So we walked into the sanctuary, and we walked up to the front, and there was a little piece of furniture up there, Rod, just a piece of furniture, and it had a top on it. And I knew what it was, but I was just kind of joking with him. I said, Dr. Hall, what's this? He said, that's our baptistry. And I said, what? He said, that's our baptistry. I said, well, let me see it. And he took the top off, and there was a little stainless steel bowl in there. I said, Dr. Hall, how are you going to get me in that bowl? Okay? How are you going to get me in that bowl? And we laughed, because Methodists sprinkle. Any Methodist in the house? Come on. Don't you know it was John the Baptist, not John the Methodist? Okay? We get so worked up here in this church, we sweat enough to baptize a Methodist. Come on. But today, we have the honor, because we have a couple of candidates that cannot get into the water, that it's really not about the water, because how many of you know it's the blood of Jesus that washes the sins away? So, Jonathan Ellis, you have the privilege today, and yours is a little special, because the water that you're baptized with, I physically got down on my knees in the Jordan River, and I filled this bottle up with Jordan River water. All right? It's been in there for about 5 years now, and it's just as crystal clear and pure. So you have a word of testimony you want to share? Anything you want to say?
I did this about when I was 19 and 20, but it's not about the people anymore. It's between me and God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So true. So, Jonathan, thank you for your faithfulness to this church and your heart for the kingdom of God. And because of your faith in Jesus Christ, it's my honor to baptize you today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now I got the other candidates thinking, I didn't have any Jordan River water. Let me infuse you a little bit, okay? Oh, let's have fun. Sherry Farmer.
Many of you know Sherry. I met Sherry at a boutique here in Ahoskie where she did my nails. And she keeps all of my secrets. And she did pastors too, that's right. I wasn't going to tell that, but. But you know what? There's something that takes place when you go in and you take your shoes off and you let somebody work on your feet. First of all, she saw my ugly feet and how long it had been since I had had anything done to them. But then she also helped me choose the nail polish that wouldn't make me look old. So only women past the age of 50 will realize what I'm saying about that. You know, there is a classic color, but you don't want to look old in your classic color, nor do you want to look like an old woman trying to look young. There's the middle ground, and Sherry can do that for you. But I remember talking to Sherry and talking about the things that she'd been through and the things that God had brought her through. And I had no idea years ago when I invited her to Carpenter Shop that she would actually get here one of these days and totally surrender her life to Jesus. You know, sometimes life is not easy, but life is good with Jesus. He doesn't promise it's always easy, but he promised us he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. So, Sherry, do you want to say something today?
I want to thank God. I want to thank this church. I want to thank y'all and my family out there. And I love it here.
Great. So whenever you need your toes done, I'm believing that Sherry's going to end up having her own business. Her own boutique here in Ahoskie. And that God will just totally bless her business. You know, a lot of times we forget. My brother is a cosmetology, so we realize that when you have positions in a salon, it's a lot different than just going in and purchasing something and everybody getting the cut. So make sure when you go get your toes and nails done that you get them done by Sherry. All right. Because of your trust in Jesus, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, hallelujah. Angel Granados.
So, Angel, when did you give your heart to the Lord?
Not too long ago.
Not too long ago. What's changed?
I just feel like I'm a better person now. Like, I made a lot of mistakes before, but I want to change and be a better person and have a good life.
Amen. Amen. Don't we all? Anything else you want to say?
I just want to thank Jesus for dying for our sins and sacrificed his whole life for the world.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the
Lord. Angel, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I give you praise for what you are doing. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you, my brother.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Von Latham. Praise the Lord. Come on, give it up for our bass player today. Amen. Praise God.
thank the Lord for being here. Thank you guys for having me. I thank you for my pastor. Thank you for my family that's came and support me. And most importantly, I thank God for saving me. And my rededication was March 15th at 10:50 in the morning. And I'm excited.
Hey, 10:50. Hallelujah. Von Latham, it's because of your faith in Jesus Christ that we have the honor of baptizing you today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Alyssa Parker.
Alyssa has such a sweet spirit about her, and I've watched her grow so much even in the last 2 years in her faith. And in our class, Alyssa, is there anything that you want to say? No. Well, it's an honor, Alyssa, today, by the profession of your faith. Hold your nose. It's okay, babe. I'll take it. Hold your nose, Alyssa. I now baptize. Sorry, switch it. I'm sorry. There you go. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Derek Parker. Derek is very talented. He is an artist and a writer. He's gotten awards at his school for poems that he's written, and he is prolific. And I'm just thankful and excited to see the ways that God uses your giftings and your abilities for him as you grow older. Derek, is there anything that you want to say? No. Well, Derek, because the profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Grayson Parker. I don't think I ever see Grayson when he's not smiling. He's just joy on his face, and we've been excited to get to know him. He is our Nerf gun for sure. He loves our Nerf war events, and he's a master at those. Grayson, is there anything that you want to say? Well, it's been a joy to get to know you, and by the profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
So the next one is my son-in-law's mother-in-law, mother, Sandra Parker. Sandra is going to get sprinkled today. I'm so proud of you and your family. Anything you want to say?
Saving me from a stroke and bringing my family here with me to help along the way. I appreciate it very much. With my heart.
Sandra, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we baptize you. Next is my daughter, Sheila Parker. Mm-hmm. So this is a special honor for me. Don't know if I can make it through here. I love you. I'm so proud of you. So is your mom. We've been praying for you and Brian for so long. Pastor Mike, you want to say something?
Nobody here is more proud of you than Bonnie and I. She's one of ours and has been for a long, long time. And we've loved her and we've watched her grow up and become a fine young woman. And we just pray your blessings, God's blessings all over you.
You want to say anything?
The only thing that comes to mind is, Jesus, I'm making room for you to do whatever you want to do.
So, Sheila, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Brian,
Parker, my son-in-law, whole family.
So proud of you, Brian. I know the struggles and the demons that you face. Today it's all over with. I love you.
Go ahead.
Another one that we are extremely proud of, that we've known for a long time, and I've spent hours and hours on the water, in the woods, all over everywhere, on the job site. I know that God has great things for you. I know that there's a calling upon your life. I've known it since the very first day I met you. And I believe God will fulfill it.
So Brian, you have something to say?
I just want to thank everybody for my family and my brother coming. Really, we have it kind of long. And my mama, too, I just pray that we all get back together.
So, Brian, you ready? So, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we baptize you today.
Walker. Damien is another one that you don't see him very often without a smile on his face, and I just pray, Damien, that the joy that you have and that you exude, that is the joy of the Lord, will continue to impact others around you and your athletic giftings that God has given you, that they'll be used for his glory as you continue to grow in your faith. You want to say anything, Damien? Damien, by the profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Daylen Walker. And Daylen, your whole life has been part of a twin, but my prayer for you and your brother is that your identity is found separate in Jesus, that he is where you find your path, and that instead of being known for the rest of your life as twin A or twin B, that you're known as his child and that you're set apart for him in a special way. Your family, you guys have these three boys have an opportunity. When you walk in the room, I can tell the difference because you guys have an influence in a positive way on the other boys in the class. And I'm just thankful for that and thankful for where God is going to lead you. And Daylin, by the profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Taylin Walker. And Taylin, like I said, it's a joy, these men of God that you guys are going to grow into. And as I said to your brother, too, that your identity is in Christ. And that even when I and probably your teachers and people don't always know which one is which, God knows you and he sees you and he knows everything about you because he created you in such a unique and individual way. And I'm just thankful for what God is doing already through you to the kids around you. And I just pray and encourage you to stay strong and to stand up for him in your whole life. And Taylin, I now baptize you by the profession of your faith in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Autumn Van.
Autumn long, but I've known her family a long time. And Autumn, it gives me just a joy to realize that even many, many years ago, God had this day planned out for you. And we're thankful that you've given your heart to Jesus. And okay. You know, sometimes in the course of life, you may have moved around and pastored other areas, and we actually pastored Autumn's grandparents, and it's just such a wonderful thing to realize that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, way back when, and we didn't know that we would be reconnected again with Elaine's family and with Autumn. But we're so thankful that God has placed them under our leadership for this time. And Autumn, because of your belief in Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Hallelujah. Come on, give it up for all of our baptism candidates. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back. We're going to sing one more song in worship, and then we're going to get into the Word. And look at your neighbor and say, he's not going to preach long. Come on. Amen. Got a good word for you today. Don't go anywhere. And a free taco bar for those of you who are part of the party with a pastor. So we're going to have a great time listening to what the Holy Spirit is going to say to us today. But let's stand one more time, just give you a chance to self a chance to stretch a little bit, and let's just worship God and just receive all that he has for us as we prepare for the Word in just a few moments.
Amen. Can we just surrender it all to him this morning? Thank you.
surrendering, God. Find me here, Lord, as you draw me near, desperate for you, desperate for you.
Come on, let that word come from your mouth. I surrender, Lord. I want to know you more. I love you more. I want to know you more. I want you to do more in my life, through my life. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Come on. Jeremiah 29, 11. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Pastor Mike, come here to the platform. You can be seated. Noel was singing on the worship team, so we wanted to allow him to minister that last song. And he also wants to declare his faith in Christ by water baptism today. Pastor Mike's going to baptize him. Love you, my friend.
Hallelujah. Wow. Do you want to preach today?
No, I can't.
There's a preacher here. I recognize the first time I met him. Hallelujah. What do you want to say?
I just want to say I thank the Lord for everything and everything that I've gone through in my life at a young age. And I just want to thank him for getting me through it and then coming into my life. And just I'm going to let him take care of everything and let him lead me the right path everywhere I go.
Amen. Amen. I am proud of you. You're going to do great things for the kingdom. Amen. All right. My brother, it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. I surrender, Lord. Yay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, we wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for a tremendous team of leaders and volunteers. While you're down here enjoying yourself, there's a whole team of people upstairs ministering to children, and people on the back line back there, technical people who take care of all of us as far as getting our signal out to the nations. And we're just excited to have you working, guys, working with us. Would you give it up for our back line back there, lights and sound and all those things, and our worship team? Hey, man, would you give it up for them? Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. And the nations of the earth, thank you. 182 nations Carpenter Shop has seen in 182 countries. Amen. King Television. We're excited. We're glad to have you online watching today. We're glad to have you join us for this time of celebration, and it's time for the Word of God. And I want to pray, and then we're going to proclaim to you the truth from Scripture today that will minister to your heart. And I pray for those that are here today and even online that maybe you've not made that commitment, or maybe you feel the need to renew your faith in Christ. You have an opportunity at the end of the service. If you're sick today, how many people that say, hey, Pastor, I'm just not doing well, or maybe you received a diagnosis you're not happy with. Could I just see your hand right quick all over the building? You got a diagnosis. The doctor said something. Come on. Amen. We're going to pray for you at the end of the service, because I can tell you something. Jesus heals. Amen. So we're going to pray for you. Those of you that need spiritual healing, those of you that need emotional healing, you know, sometimes people just go through things where they feel like, you know what, I just can't get the demons off my back. Amen? I just can't get them out of my life. And maybe you need a deliverance. Maybe you need God just to set you free from something that may have been planted or deposited as a child or whatever. God's able. Amen? Able. How able? Able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask, think, or imagine. Amen. Ephesians 3:20. And we're going to believe God to meet us here at the close of this service, and I know that he will. So, Father, thank you for your word as we proclaim today, your truth from the Scriptures of who you are and what you're able to do, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' strong name. And everybody said amen and amen. I want to speak a message to you this morning that I've simply entitled Healing for the One and the Many. Healing for the One and the Many. What an amazing time today. Worship, worship, incredible worship. Worship for the one, for me, for you, for as you kind of close yourself in, lift your hands to the Lord, believe God to just minister to you. But what you're doing when you worship God, you know, we have to be careful, because if we're not careful, you know, we'll just fall into singing songs. Right, Hersey? Just singing songs. But God wants you, when you worship Him, you know, listen, when I get in the bathtub sometime, I just pull out my iPhone and say, Siri, play Elevation Worship, or Siri, play Maverick City, and lean my phone up on the bathtub and worship while I'm taking a bath. Come on. Anybody? Just turn the music on. When I'm in the car, or excuse me, when I'm in my F-150. Come on, somebody. Amen. Holy Ghost is all over that. Amen. Eat your heart out, Dodge fans, all right? But when I'm riding in my truck, worshiping God, listening to a podcast, receiving the Word of God into my mind and my spirit, those are times of, say this with me, worship. They're worship. So as worship is for the one, but then we come together collectively, and all of us together come in this holy place and worship God together. That's collective worship. And we sing songs like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Thank you for fulfilling your mission to die, to be the supreme sacrifice for all of humanity, for dying for me, for resurrecting for me, for giving me a new life in you, and then set a fire down in my soul. Amen. For the one, for us all. Set a fire down in my soul. Why? Because I want more of you, God. We sang that this morning. I want more of you, God. I want more of you. That's collectively, us together, for the one and for the many. All right? Baptism today. Amen? Baptism today for the one. Everybody had a complete story for who? For themselves. Amen? You saw tears. You saw laughter. In fact, we wept enough here to baptize people today. Come on. Just a lot of tears. The tears of rejoicing for the one. Tears of rejoicing for the one who said, Jesus washed me. Jesus cleansed me. Jesus cleaned me. Jesus transformed me to the person that you've called me to be, that you've destined me to be. Each person demonstrating a death to the sinful life and a resurrection to the new life. We talked about it in depth last week in the message. Not John's baptism. John had a baptism, but it was a baptism of what? Repentance. Today wasn't just a baptism of repentance. Today was not John's baptism. You don't need John's baptism. Why? Because Jesus came. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He said, hey, there's one coming who's mightier than I. He just did the groundwork. He laid the foundation, John the Baptist. He laid the foundation for the coming of Christ. And when he did see him coming down the road, John 1:29, English Standard Version says this, the next day, John the Baptist here saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He understood his purpose. He understood his calling was to prepare the way for the Messiah. And that baptism, which we all witnessed this morning, was for the one in the tank, but it was for the many of you to be encouraged to know that God still works in people's lives. Amen? For the many, for us all. John said it well. He said, for God so loved who? The world, that he gave his one and only Son, John 3:16, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Whoever, God so loved the world that whoever is the what? The one. But the world is the many. Y'all stay with that, okay? Don't lose it. The one and the many. Look at John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The world is many. Every human being, all of humanity. I think sometimes we get stuck at John 3:16, and sometimes we'll read 3:17. But I want you to go down a little farther with me this morning and read a few more verses. And we're going to lift those from the page and extract the truth that will minister to our spirit this morning. John 3:19, this is the verdict. This is the verdict that what? Light has come into the world. But here's a sad statement. But people loved darkness instead of light. How many of you remember when you loved darkness rather than light? I do. I remember when I lived in Raleigh. I was a student at NC State University, and I loved darkness. I love nightclubs, 10-cent draft, even though it was Stroh's. Bad name in beer, okay? I was a beer drinker. I was. My parents thought I was off just to being a good boy. No, no, no. I was in the nightclubs drinking 10-cent beer. Stuff I'd never done because I was like a bulldog broke his chain when I left Hartford and went to Raleigh. They didn't know what I was doing. They're looking at me now like, what? Yeah, I was a drinker. I was a drinker. But God redeemed me from that. Okay? God took that out of me. God ripped that out of me. Okay? God ripped that out of me. He did an amazing work in my life. Why? Because I was at a place where I loved darkness rather than light. I remember telling my brother one day, I said, man, he said, I want to live like you. I wish I could live like you. I remember standing in Hartford talking to him. I want to live like you, Wallace. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're such a good guy. People love you. You're inspiring. You seem like you got it all together. I said, David, you don't know me. There's a part of my life. There's a piece of my life that you don't know about. I said, I've done some terrible things in my life. I should have been not in the jail, but under the jail. And he said, like what? I said, I ain't telling you now. Okay? I'm not telling you now. I wouldn't tell anybody. But I deserve to be locked up. My mom and daddy's like, of all the Sundays we came. Yeah. She's going to ask me one day, what did you do? I'm not telling you, okay? You know why? Because he already forgot it. Jesus already forgot it. Why should I remind him? All right. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, and he's taken our sins and done what? Cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. Come on, give the Lord praise. You're not at fault. You're free from guilt and shame. Oh, man, I feel the Holy Ghost in here today. I'm just looking like God's going to show up. Come on. He's going to show up. That's the beautiful thing about redemption and justification, just as if I never sinned. Amen. This is the verdict, John 3:19. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Can I just tell you something very truthfully? There are people sitting in this room today, you still love evil. Okay? Let's just be honest. You still love evil. There are people sitting here that you need to make that decision. You need to go down to the waters of baptism. There are people watching online in countries all over the nations. You need to make that decision. Hit us in the comment box below. We'll contact you. You need to make that decision because you can't have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. That's not going to work. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you. You can't, listen, you can't straddle the fence. Well, I joined the church when I was 12. So what? You did a lot of things when you were young, but you had people today that did this a long time ago, but because of the reality of a newfound faith in Christ that's real, they wanted to be baptized again. Amen? Amen. This is the verdict. Light's coming to the world, Jesus, but people love darkness instead of light. Amen. People by nature, we were all born with a sin nature, have a natural bent toward sin. We learn it young. Can I have a cookie? No. You're going to have supper in just a little bit. As soon as mama leaves the kitchen, take the top off and get one. We have a bent towards sin. Don't touch that. It's hot. Shh. We want to touch it because we are by nature's sinful people. Amen? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Paul said. For all have sinned. And Jesus said when he came into the world, lightness came into the world. And what does lightness do? Light dispels darkness. When you walk into a dark room, you can't even know for sure if you got the, you know it's supposed to be here somewhere, and you finally found the toggle switch and you push it up, and what happened? Light pushes darkness totally away. Think about this with me. When Jesus comes in your life, what is he supposed to do? He died for it all. So he is supposed to dispel all the darkness in your life. But why do you play with it? Why do you play with demons? They'll get you. They'll get you. They will drag you down. They will pull you back in. Light dispels darkness. And we need to understand that. The same is true when you expose yourself to the light of the gospel, to the light of Jesus in your heart. Darkness will leave you. You can't find darkness when the light is on. So if the light of Jesus is on in your life and the light of Jesus is on in my life, you shouldn't be able to look at me and see darkness, because Christ dispels that. That's why we're here today, to worship, to declare. Worship really should be spelled W-O-R-T-H-S-H-I-P. Because when we worship, you know what we're doing? We're declaring His worth, declaring His value. We are worshiping. Are y'all getting this? Preach, teach, Pastor. Come on. We're worshiping God because we're declaring His worth. Because, you know, really, what it really looks like is that if we're living our lives and we haven't dispelled the darkness in our life, we need a new bulb. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you need a new bulb, man. You need a new bulb. Your light's out. Come on, you need a new bulb. You need to change the bulb. Okay? That's why when we come to church every week, week after week, that's why you shouldn't miss church. Okay? Well, we're going to Busch Gardens this weekend. Go Friday, okay? Go Saturday. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will come into His presence. We'll make sure that we're in His house. Why? Because we collectively worship with the people of God. And our light bulb is continuing to shine, because it's good when we come into the presence of God with believers of like precious faith and enter His gates with thanksgiving in our heart and lift up our voices in praise. And we are strengthened and renewed in the Spirit. I wish somebody would say, preach, Pastor. Come on. That's the way it has to be. We should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And all the more as we see the day approach. You know, we still got a bunch of folks that's sitting home because of COVID. I just read of a church just this last week that is starting up services. First Sunday of worship since COVID will be Easter Sunday. Man, you guys will just forget it. All your people are gone. If you didn't step up to the plate and do what you were supposed to do in the middle of COVID, you don't have much of a chance now. I'm sorry. Step up your game. Open the doors of the church. 20,000 churches in the United States of America have closed their doors and been sold and shut down since COVID. 20,000 churches. What a sad thing. God help us in this nation. Sometimes we just need a new bulb. We just need a new bulb. Look at what John says. He continues to say in John chapter 3, verse 20. Everyone who does evil, hey, listen to this. Everyone who does evil hates the light. Ooh. And will not come into the light, check this out, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. There are folk that won't come to church because they know the Holy Spirit is going to be here, and they don't want to walk into that and be found out. Look at what he says. Everyone who does evil, you got some evil stuff going on in your life, hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. I don't want to come into the church because I know I'm not living right, and I don't want to have the light shining. I don't want to feel miserable. Some of you, when we get to the end of the service today, your heart's going to pick up beat. I'm just telling you because I love you. I'm just telling you because this is going to happen. When we get to the altar service, and don't go out like I got to go to the bathroom. No, sit still. Sit here and take the whole thing. You ever, mom ever tell you when she gave you a pill, swallow this, it's good for you. What I'm saying to you today, take it, man. It's good for you, okay? And you're gonna when the music starts and you feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit when these musicians start to play and the people start to sing, you're going to have a fidget and you're going to want to get up and go out. Don't go anywhere. That's the Holy Spirit saying, be still. And your heart begins to flutter a little stronger. And Jesus is knocking on your door. And He wants you to come and have fellowship with Him. I'm the light. And I know you feel a little frustrated right now, but just give it to me. I like what Noah, I just give it all to Him, man. I trust Him in the whole thing. I'm just going to give it to Him. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. I'm just going to stay away from the church because I don't want to be found out. Romans 2:16 says this in the New Living Translation. And this is the message that I proclaim, Paul said, that the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. It was Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a revivalist of the 19th century, who said, character is what you do when you're by yourself. See, you really, the real you is what you do and what you have going on when nobody else is around. And you think you have people fooled. But the Bible says, this is the message we proclaim, Paul says, there's a day coming through Jesus Christ, because he's the righteous judge, that all of your secrets will be judged. King James says, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. You say, oh man, pastor's reading my mail today. So we just stay away from the light. Why? Because the light reveals, it reveals my dark deeds. We have to be careful. Somebody say boom, okay? Boom. God's reading our mail today, John 3:21. But whoever lives by the truth, comes into the light. If you live by the truth, that means you come to the light of Christ so that it may be seen plainly what they have done has been done in the sight of God. In other words, hey, I don't have anything to hide. I'm walking in the light of Christ. All of my stuff is out there for everybody to see. I ran into I used to think I'd encountered everything in the ministry, in 40 years of ministry, that I'd seen everything, done everything, seen every conflict, had every kind of contention to rise up against me. Then I started selling real estate. I'm telling you, man, there's some people out there that are absolutely crazy. And I thought I'd seen everything. But I had one person that tried to push me into a corner, and it literally drove me bats. And she pointed her bony finger at me, and she said, I know about you. I said, what are you talking about? Oh, you know what I'm talking about. I've seen it on the internet. I said, ma'am, you can search Wallace Phillips, Pastor Wallace Phillips. Search all you want to. You're not going to find any smut on me. Oh, I know it. I've seen it. And you know what I'm talking about. I thought, you know what? This is a demon talking. But you know what I allowed to happen? I allowed it to frustrate me. And I shouldn't have. I should have taken authority over it. I should have spoke to it right then. And I didn't. And I let it trouble me and bring me anxiety. And it put me in a bad way for several days till I realized that this is a trick of the devil, man. This is all he's trying. You're not going to find any smut on me. Some of y'all pull out your phone right now. Wallace Phillips. Oh, he's the one who broke into the bank in 1975. No. You're not going to find that. You see, the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. And anytime there's a move of God, I've noticed this in the last few weeks, and in the families of my church, in the leadership of my church, and in my own personal life, anytime there's a move of God, the enemy knows he has to try to do something to distract you. Now, the enemy knows full well that Wallace Phillips is not going to go down to the liquor store and buy a fifth of whiskey or Jim Beam or whatever and just go throw a drunk. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go down to the corner and buy me a crack rock or snort some cocaine or smoke some weed. I'm not going to do that. So he reaches into his tools and he pulls out something called distraction. He can use that on me because he can get me distracted and get my eyes off of Jesus and forward movement and all these things that are happening in my life. So he distracts you. And listen, when contention shows up in your household, between husband and wife, between mother and daughter, father and son, whatever, when contention shows up, you need to understand that the enemy is just trying to get in the mix. And you need to call it for what it is and take authority over it and say, you know what, we need to stop this. This is just the enemy. What are you talking about? That's what the pastor said. Why do you believe everything he says? You know, it just gets worse sometimes. But I'm telling you, sometimes the enemy just wants to distract you. But whoever lives, John 3:21, by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. My life is an open book. In fact, the writer in the New Testament says, not only is my life an open book, I'm a living what? Epistle. I'm walking around a community as a living transaction of the message of Christ in my life. My life is a living epistle. And it brings forth the truth. Can I just tell you something as a born-again, spirit-filled believer? When you walk in the room, atmosphere changes. It shifts. Your presence makes all the difference in the world. And you and I, our life is governed and guided by the truth, the Word of God, the relationship that we have with Jesus. And when it is, you don't have to hide anything. It's all out in the open, no shame. You're a work in progress. You're not perfect. You're just forgiven. And you're on the journey of constantly being transformed by the power of the gospel. The more you take in, you're sanctified daily, day by day. You come to Jesus as you are. And Paul says you are a new creation. You are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Pastor, I thought you were preaching on healing today. I am, but let's get the soul healed first. Okay? Let's get the soul healed first. The greatest healing that you will ever receive is the healing of your soul. What is my soul? It's a compilation of your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's your soul. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Two powerful verses here from the New International Version. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, here we go, offer your bodies, this body right here, offer your body as a living sacrifice. You don't have to die. He died already. But I want you to be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is how you show God that you really do declare his worth, by giving your body to the Lord. Then he says in verse 2, here's a play on words. I underscored them both for you. Conform and transform. The word there, this is where we get our word metamorphosis from. Like the worm becomes a butterfly. Okay, check this out. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. That's metamorphosis. By what? By the renewing of your mind. You know what you're doing here today? You're renewing your mind. Every time you come to church, you're renewing your mind in Christ Jesus. You're hearing the anointed word of God proclaimed, and it provides strength for your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. You walk out of the door encouraged, inspired, glad I came today, good to be in God's house, great to be with family of believers of like precious faith, and you're inspired. And you're renewing your mind. You renew your mind when you get in your F-150 and drive down the road and listen to a podcast. You renew your mind when you turn on your favorite song from Maverick City and you listen to the words coming through the speakers. You're renewing your mind. You renew your mind when you show up to Bible study and found out the foundations of God's word that are applicable to my life. You're renewing your mind when you show up to the new Bible study. I need to get on a different path and renew my mind. Amen. And when you renew your mind, the light will stay on. If you get slack and lazy and don't show up for church, then your light's not shining. It's going out. It's going out. You're not shining anything. Your bub's out. Some of you, your bulb is out. It ain't shining nothing. You turn the light on, nothing happens. So guess what happens in the room? There's just darkness there. And darkness is looking for a place to dwell. Somebody say, ease up, Pastor. No, I'm not. I'm not easing up. I'm preaching the truth of God's word. Because when I stand before God, you're not going to have anything to do with it. I don't have to answer to you. I have to answer to him who's willing to say to me, if I do a good job, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you've been faithful over these things. Enter now into the joy of the Lord, and my reward will come when I get to heaven. Amen? So I don't have to please you. I really don't. And I couldn't even do it if I wanted to. You know why? Because all of y'all are human beings, and you're entitled to your own opinion, and you're all so different. This is a box of crayons right here, I'm telling you. You know, when I was a kid, I always had the one with 8 in it. And what did I want? I wanted the box with 24 in it. And then when I got the one with 24, I wanted to get the one with like 96 that had the little sharpener on the back of the box. Y'all know what I'm saying? The more color, the more variety, the more I love it. You guys are an example of heaven on earth right here in Ahoskie, North Carolina. Red and yellow, black and white. You are precious in the sight of God. Amen? It's God's will that your soul be healed. You the one, and all of us the many. As we come to the altar today, just a few moments, we're going to pray for the souls that need to be healed. And as we come to the altar today, we're going to pray for physical things. Somebody say physical things. Emotional things. Somebody say emotional things. Spiritual healing, physical healing, emotional healing. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for the needs of your soul and your body. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our rebellion. King James says, bruised for our iniquities, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. The atoning work of Jesus was not only for our souls, it was also for our sicknesses. The King James says, by his stripes we are healed. Guess what? The one and the many. The Bible's filled with stories of healings. 26 times in the New Testament, just the Gospels, 26 times healings are recorded. The nobleman's son in John 4. The man with an unclean spirit, Mark chapter 1. Simon Peter's mother-in-law, Matthew 8. The leper in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. The paralytic in Matthew 9. The man at the pool of Bethesda, John 5. The man with a withered hand in Mark 3. I preached at a men's conference this week, and I saw a man in there with a withered hand. It was drawn up. And the Holy Spirit had me to go over him and say, listen, how long has it been like that? He said, it was an infant accident. He said, it happened when I was a child, and they never did in those days anything to correct it. And so my hand has grown like this. I said, I hear the Lord saying something to you. He wants to heal it. I said, I want you to take the good hand every day, take the good hand and grab the bad hand. And every day, pull it out. Pull it out in Jesus' name. And he's looking at me. I said, I'm telling you, this is the what? The working of miracles. He's not straightening it right now. It would be nice if I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And his hand just flopped open like that. Can he do it? Yes, he can. But I said, I don't think he's going to do that, but I think every day God's going to allow your hand to come out. So take the good hand and pull on the bad hand every day and say, Lord, I thank you for my healing. This is the working of miracles. It's a process. Then there's the man at the pool of Bethesda, John 5, the man with the withered hand, the centurion's servant, Matthew 8, the widow's dead son that Jesus raised to life, Luke 7. The demon-possessed man who lived among the tombs in Mark 5. The woman who was hemorrhaging for 12 years and said, what? If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. Matthew chapter 9. The raising of Jairus' daughter, Mark chapter 5. The two blind men healed in Matthew 9. The mute demonized man, Matthew 9. The daughter of the Canaanite, Mark 4. The deaf man of Mark 7. The blind man of Mark 8. The epileptic in Luke 9. The man born blind in John 9. The man who was, catch this, dumb, blind, and demon-possessed, Matthew 12. The woman who was bent over double. And it was nothing but a what? A spirit. It was a spirit that caused her to be bent over double. Wasn't something physical going on. She was crippled by a spirit. The man with dropsy. What's that? Edema in your legs. Swollen legs. I'm holding fluid. Did you know that God heals fluid problems? Amen. Lazarus raised from the dead in John 11. The 10 lepers of Luke 17. Blind Bartimaeus sitting there begging as Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem, Mark chapter 10. And Malchus, whose ear was healed in Luke 22. In fact, listen, church, the Bible says in John 21, 25, John said this, John should know he was the one who was closer to him than any other disciple. You see, you have the crowds, the multitudes, the 72, the disciples, small d, Peter, James, and John the Beloved, the one who sat at his breast. He's close to him. He's very close in the circle of Jesus' relationships. And this is what he says, John 21:25. Look at it. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. You've only got one book, a collection of 66 books called the Bible, the Biblios, that only chronicles a few things, just like the feeding of the 5,000. You say, oh, that was a great miracle that Jesus did. I'm just going to submit to you that it was not just the feeding of the 5,000. You say, oh, yeah, that's right. He also fed the 4,000, right? Jesus had a buffet going on every day. When he was feeding people, he was miracles and loaves and fishes and miracles. He didn't just do it one time. He did it over and over and over again. You know what I say when I read that? Eat your heart out, Golden Corral. Okay. Jesus did so many things. The Bible says if they were written down in books, the world couldn't hold the books. And Jesus said when he sent the Spirit upon the earth, he said, the Spirit that dwells in you. We're in the 21st century. This is what happened in the first century. And it dwells in you just like it did in Peter and James and John and Paul and others. He said of us that we would do what? You will do even greater things. Greater things than Jesus did. And the book of Acts is filled with miraculous signs of the apostles. In fact, I was studying it the other day. 29 times in the book of Acts, Luke records signs, wonders, miracles, and healings. 29 times in 28 chapters. Seven of those, somebody say seven. Seven of those 29 times, Rico, are collective miracles. Not just the one, but the many. Pastor, what are you talking about? Seven of those times are collective. Look at Acts chapter 8, 5 to 8. Philip, okay, what is Philip? He's not a preacher. What is he? He's a deacon. He's a servant of the church. He went down to the city of Samaria, and he proclaimed the Messiah there. And verse number 6 says what? When the crowds, I underscored it for you, when the crowds heard Philip, and saw the signs that he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For look at verse 7. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of one, right? No, many. And many who were paralyzed or lame got up and walked. They were healed. So there was great joy in that city when Philip showed up in that city of Samaria. Acts chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Check it out. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and mats. Can't you see them in your mind's eye now? Just bringing people, stacking them up. So that at least when Peter walked by, his shadow might fall on some of them. How would you like to live such a life that you're so filled with the Holy Ghost that just your shadow heals people? You say, well, yeah, but that was the Bible days. This is the same dispensation that we're living in today that they were living in the first century. This is just the 21st century. Same dispensation, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit and of grace. We're still living in the same period. That's why I told you the other day, look at your book in Acts. And if you read Galatians, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen, period. Read over Philippians. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon you. Amen. They end, but Acts doesn't have an ending. It's like a Duracell battery. It just keeps going and going and going. It's going and going and going. The book of Acts is still alive. It is still happening. So you can get to the place. You can get all the juice you want out of the Holy Ghost. You can live as hot and fiery a life as you choose to live. All you got to do is submit yourself to Him. The book of Acts is still continuing today. Remember the man who laid at the gate called Beautiful in Acts chapter 3? Peter and John, now filled with the Holy Ghost, had walked by there every day. I've been by there many times. They'd walk by there every day. He was lame for how long? The Bible says 38 years.
Peter and John ministered healing to him, and he jumped up and leaped all over the village like a gazelle, like a deer. The religious people were so upset that this beggar man who needs a healing got healed. In fact, it resulted in them going to jail for ministering healing to a man. They shared their discourse on the life of Jesus. They said it in Acts chapter 3, verse 12. Check it out. Fellow Israelites, why does his healing surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or our own godliness we had made this man walk? They give honor to Jesus and the power of the Spirit. Why are you acting like we did it? This man's healed. He said it's by the power of the Spirit that he stands in front of you healed. The book of Acts is a supernatural narrative, a story of miracles that are still going on today. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. Check this out. God did extraordinary miracles. That's when, man, that's really when you're getting serious. That's not just an ordinary miracle, but extraordinary miracles through Paul, verse 12, so that even handkerchiefs I have in my hand, we keep these in our prayer receptacles over here. There's oil over there. There's little pieces of cloth. And there's oil there, and somebody can put some oil on the cloth and give it to you, and you can take it home to your cantankerous husband that won't come to church with you. Just slide it in his underwear drawer. Just slide it in there. And as you stick it in there, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, as he reaches in for his tighty-whities tomorrow, get a hold of him, God. He won't even see the thing. All he's interested in is another pair of drawers. Clean ones. But as he reaches in, or slide it under his pillow, or stick it inside the pillowcase. You can take one today. We'll anoint it with oil and agree with you in prayer for what you're praying for. And then you just stick it in the pillowcase. And as he lays down in the bed, you're laying over there and you say, get him, Jesus. Get him, Jesus. Get a hold of him, Lord. And you say, good morning, honey. He said, man, I didn't sleep last night. Well, what's wrong? I don't know. I just kept waking up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Come on, give God praise. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, verse 12, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons. Let me stop right there. What was Paul doing? Paul's a leather worker. He's a tent maker. He makes awnings for shops. He makes shoes. He makes Michael Kors purses. Okay? Oh, some of the ladies just fell in love with this guy now. I want one of his purses. He's a leather worker. And when he's in the shop working on his leather, he's got an apron around his body. And you know how it is when you get ready to clock out of work. You throw your tool belt off. You throw everything out. Man, you just want to punch the clock and go home, right? Paul takes his apron off and just chunks it. Man, I've got to get out of here. I got the gospel to preach. And somebody says, there it is. Say what? He just threw his apron down. Go get it. They steal his apron, and they cut his apron up in small pieces and spread it all through the community. Because they found out that when you got your hands on Paul's apron, the healing power of the Holy Spirit was upon it. Okay? The healing power of the Holy Spirit. So that even handkerchiefs and aprons, you know, Paul's working, man. How many of y'all know what it is to have a sweat cloth? You know? You just got to have something. Some people wear headbands. Some people just put a rag in their pocket, man. They're wiping sweat all day. And Paul would leave, and he just tosses his old dirty rag up there on the counter. There it is. Go get it. Go get it. They'd steal it because they found out that the handkerchiefs and the aprons that had touched him. You say, well, I thought that was only Jesus. No, Jesus said, greater work shall you do. Okay? Jesus left, poured out the Holy Ghost. Now you get to walk in spiritual authority. Now you get to see the sick healed. Now you get to see blind eyes open. Now you get to see hands straightened. Touched him, were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. Healings. Healings for the one. Healings for the what? The many. As we close today, I want you to listen to me. I want to give you an opportunity to be healed. I want to give you an opportunity to be healed. The most important healing you can ever receive is the healing of your soul. That's when things, your mind, your will, and emotions come into alignment with God's plans and purposes for your life. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, listen, don't play with the Holy Spirit, man. You get out of here and go down the road and get in an accident and two people are killed. And don't mess around with it. Holy Spirit's tapping on your heart right now. Your temperature and your body's changing. You're feeling a little quick beat. That's the Holy Spirit. He's working on you. You've downloaded the sermon in your spirit and it's changing you sitting right where you are. Pastor, I need a healing in my soul. Forget the fact that you put your name on the roster when you were 14. I'm a member of the church. So what? Are you a part of the kingdom of God? Holy Spirit's dealing with you about your soul. Ministers, could you join me here? I've done all I'm going to do. You're going to have to do the rest of it. I'm bringing up a team of people that they really execute the ministry here at the end of the service. They're going to pray for you. Well, I want Pastor Wallace to pray for me. I'm praying for them while they pray for you, okay? I'm going to have a team of people here, and one by one, you can get up. Let's stand together. You can slip out of your seat. You can come to a place of healing, transformation. You can have the light turned on today. You're sitting there, you're listening to this message, and God is dealing with you by the Holy Spirit, and He wants to solidify what He's deposited in your spirit today. Okay? So just one by one, if you're here, and you'll have to tell them when you get here what you're here for. Welcome to McDonald's. Can I help you? Let me give me one with a Diet Coke, please. Tell them what you want. I'm here for healing. Yeah, let me get a number two with a Sprite. I'm here for salvation. I need to renew my faith in the Lord. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Tell them what you want. So come on, one by one, just come out of your seat. There's people here that need to be healed in their bodies. There's people here that need to be healed in their emotions. If you have to stand in line, it's okay. It's worth the wait. Just come and tell them what you'd like to have today from the Lord, because He's here. He's here for you. He's here to touch you. The Bible says He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That's right. He's here to move on your behalf. I'm sick, Pastor. I don't feel very encouraged. I'm stuck where I am in my body. I don't feel good. Come and let Jesus heal you. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon His back, and by His stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Well, we don't do that at our church. You're not at your church. Okay? You're at another church. We pray for the sick every week. We pray for the discouraged every week. We pray for the hungry, the broken, the bruised every week. Let's go. Let God touch you today. I got trouble with my shoulder. I got a heart issue. I got high blood pressure. I've got edema in my legs. No matter what it is, come on. You. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord today, can you? Jesus, you're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. I pray that that would be a reality for you as you get up tomorrow and go to that job that you go to. As you get up tomorrow and go about your normal duties, just tell him as soon as you get up in the morning, well, good morning, Lord. Just want to tell you before I eat this bacon and eggs that you're all I need. Amen. You're all I need. You're all I need, Lord. Father, would you brand that on our spirit in this room today? That really, relationship with Jesus is all I need. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first, your word says, Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the basileia, the domain of God and his power in our lives. If you seek that first, Lord, your word says that everything else will take care of itself. So, Lord, help us to make you priority. Priority. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. Well, thank you for being here today. Thank you guys online for watching us. Hit the share button, would you? Don't forget that. It's like throwing gas on a fire when you do that. And don't forget, party with the pastor. Just if you're here, you've been coming here since January, and this is a part of where you're worshiping now, just come on, join us back there. We're going to have a good time together. And it's tacos. Amen. We're going to Mexico City and eat lunch. Amen. Yeah, if you're a guest today, hey, guest, if you're a guest today, feel free to go back. We got plenty of food. If you're a guest today, just go on back there in the back and eat lunch with us. We would love to have you, okay? God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday.